The history of science is a record of the transformations of contempts and amusements. I think that the idea of werewolves is most silly, degraded, and superstitious, therefore I incline toward it respectfully. It is so laughable that I am serious about this. Marauding animals have often unaccountably appeared in, or near, human communities, in Europe and the United States. The explanation of an escape from a menagerie has, many times, been unsatisfactory, or has had nothing to base upon. I have collected notes upon these occurrences, as teleportations, but also there may be lycanthropy. Nobody has ever been finally reasonable, and it is impossible for me to be absolutely unreasonable. I can tell no yarn that is wholly a yarn, if it be my whim, or inspiration, to come out for the existence of werewolves. What is there that absolutely sets apart the story of a man who turned into an ape, or a hyena, from the story of a caterpillar that became a butterfly? Or rascals who almost starved to death, and then learned to take on the looks of philanthropists? There are shabby young doctors and clergymen, who turn so sleek, after learning the lingo of altruists, that they have the appearance of very different animals. Or the series of portraits of Napoleon Bonaparte and so much of his mind upon classical models and the transformation of a haggard young man into much resemblance to the Roman Emperor Augustus. It is a matter of common belief that men have come from animals called lower, not necessarily from apes, though the ape theory seems to fit best, and is the most popular. Then why not that occasionally a human sloughs backward? Data of reversions, not of individuals, but of species, are common in biology. I have come upon many allusions to the leopard men and the hyena men of African tribes, but the most definite story that I know of is an article by Richard Bagot, in the Cornhill Magazine, October, 1918, upon the alleged powers of natives of northern Nigeria to take on the forms of lower animals. An experience attributed to Capt. Schott, D.S.O., is told of. It is said that raiding hyenas had been wounded by gun traps, and in each case had been traced to a point where the hyena tracks had ceased, and had been succeeded by human footprints, leading to a native town. A particular of the traditional werewolf story is that when a werewolf is injured, the injury appears upon a corresponding part of the human being of its origin. Bagot told of Capt. Schott's experience, alleged experience, whatever, with an enormous brute that had been shot, and had made off, leaving tracks that were followed. The hunters came to a spot where they found the jaw of the animal, lying in a pool of blood. The tracks went on toward a native town. The next day a native died. His jaw had been shot away. There have been many appearances of animals that were unexplained anyway until I appeared upon the horizon of this field of data. It seems to me that my expressions upon teleportations are somewhat satisfactory in most of the cases, that is, that there is a force, distributive of forms of life and other phenomena that could switch an animal, say from a jungle in Madagascar to a backyard somewhere in Nebraska. But theories of mine are not so godlike as to deny any right of being for all other theories. I'd not be dogmatic and say positively that once upon a time a lemur was magically transported from Africa to Nebraska. Possibly somebody in Lincoln, Nebraska, had been transformed into a lemur, or was a werelemur. Whatever the explanation may be, the story was told, in the New York Sunday, November 12, 1931. Drive E.R. Mathers, of Lincoln, Nebraska, had seen a strange, small animal in his yard, acting queerly. The next day he found the creature dead. The body was taken to Dr. I.H. Blake, of the University of Nebraska, who identified it as that of an African lemur, of the Galaga group. A lemur is a monkey-like animal, with a long snout, size about that of a monkey. I wrote to Dr. Mathers about this, and, considerably to my surprise, because mostly my crank letters are very properly ignored, received an answer, dated November 21, 1931. Dr. Mathers verified the story. The lemur, stuffed and mounted, is now upon exhibition in the Museum of the State University, at Lincoln. Where it had come from had not been learned. There was no story of an escape, anywhere, that could match this appearance in a backyard. Accounts had been spread-headed, with illustrations, in the Lincoln State Journal, October 23, and in the Sunday State Journal, October 25, but not even in some other backyard had this animal been seen, according to absence of statements. I neglected to ask whether, at the time of the appearance of the lemur, the disappearance of any resident of Lincoln was reported. Suppose, at a meeting of the National Academy of Sciences, I should read a paper upon the transformation of a man into a hyena. There would be only one way of doing that. I recommend it to unrecognized geniuses, who can't otherwise get a hearing. It would have to be a hold-up. But, without having to pull a gun, at the meeting of the NAS, at New Haven, Conn, November 18, 1931, Dr. Richard C. Tolman suggested that energy may be transforming into matter. If one can't think of a man transforming into a hyena, let one try to think of the motions of a thing turning into a thing. My expression is that, in our existence of the hyphen, or of intermediateness between so-called opposites, there is no energy, and there is no matter, but that there is matter energy, manifesting in different degrees of emphasis one way or the other. That it is not thinkable that energy could turn into matter, but that it is thinkable that energy matter could, by a difference of emphasis, turn into matter energy. Or that there is no man who is without the hyena element in his composition, and that there is no hyena that is not at least rudimentarily human, or that at least it may be reasoned that, by no absolute transformation, but by a shift of emphasis, a man hyena might turn into a hyena man. The year 1931, and there were everywhere, but most notably in the USA, such shifts, or reversions, from the state that is called civilization, that there was talk of repealing laws against carrying weapons, and of the arming of citizens to protect themselves, as if such cities as New York and Chicago were frontier towns. Out of policemen in all except physical appearance had come wolves that had preyed upon nocturnal women. There were chases of savages through the streets of New York City. Jackals on juries picked up bits from kills by bigger beasts, and snarled their jackal verdicts. New York Times, June 30, 1931. Police at Mineola hunt ape-like animal hairy creature, about 4 feet tall. Out of judges had come swine. County Judge W. Bernard Voss found guilty of using the mails to defraud, and sentenced to 6 years in Atlanta Penitentiary. Federal Judge Grover M. Moskowitz was censured by the House of Representatives. The magistrates, who, facing charges of corruption, resigned, were Mancuso, Ewald, McQuaid, Goodman, Simpson. Vital was removed. Crater disappeared. Rosenbluth went away, for his health's sake. And, near Mineola, Long Island, a gorilla was reported. The first excitement was at Lewis and Valentine's nursery story, told by half a dozen persons. An ape that had come out of the woods, had looked them over, and had retreated. It seems that the police hadn't heard of mass psychology, so they had to explain less learnedly. Several days later, they were so impressed with repeating stories that a dozen members of the Nassau County Police Department were armed with shotguns, and were assigned to ape duty. No circus had appeared anywhere near Mineola, about this time, and from neither any zoo, nor from anybody's smaller menagerie, had the escape of any animal been reported. Ordinarily, let nothing escape, or let nothing large, wild, and hairy appear, but let it be called an ape, anyway, and, upon the rise of an ape scare, one expects to hear of cows reported as gorillas, trees, shadows, vacancies taking on ape forms. But New York Herald Tribune, June 27th, Mrs. E. H. Tandy, of Starcliff Drive, Malvern, reported something as if she had not heard of the ape scare. She called up the police station, saying that there was a lion in her backyard. The policeman, who incredulously received this message, waited for another policeman to return to the station, and share the joke. Both waited for the arrival of a third disbeliever. The three incredulous policemen set out, several hours after the telephone call, and by that time there wasn't anything to disturb anybody's conventional beliefs, in Mrs. Tandy's backyard. There was no marauding. All the stories were of a large and hairy animal that was appearing and disappearing. And appearing and disappearing in the vast jungles not far from Mineola, Long Island, were skunks that were coming from lawyers. Some of them were caught and rendered inoffensive by disbarment. There was a capture of several dozen medical hyenas, who had been picking up livings in the trains of bootleggers. It could be that an occurrence, in New Jersey, was not at all special, but represented a general slump back toward a state of about simian development. There was an examination of applicants for positions in the schools of Irvington. In mathematics, no question beyond arithmetic was asked, in spelling, no unusual word was listed. 116 applicants took the examination, and all failed to pass. The average mark was 31.5. The creep of jungle life stripped clothes from people. Nudists appeared in many places. And it was not until later in the year, that the staunchest opponent of disclosures spoke out, in the name of decency, or swaddling, or when Pope Pius XI refused to receive Mahatma Gandhi, unless he'd put on pants.